The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
It can be very difficult to really see how our mind operates. It's very difficult to see how our mind gets attached, or how our mind is limited by its perceptions, its understanding, its attachments, its sense of self. Sometimes the way the mind operates, the way we think and live in the world, react to the world, seems so deeply natural, or the way things are, that it's kind of like the fish that doesn't see the water it swims in. We don't necessarily see the thoughts we live in, the reactions we live in, the attachments we live in. We grew up in a society, family of attached people, where they encourage you to cling to things. And so it just seems like it's the most natural, easy thing in the world to cling, to hold on to all kinds of things. And so it's very hard to see all this, and especially down at those more subtle levels of the mind. So one of the things that's really helpful is to have a reference point, and to have a reference point with which you see what is going on. So the example I often like to give is that of a very still, beautiful, shallow mountain creek, mountain river, that you look in the clear water, and you can't tell that the water is flowing. It just seems like it's standing still. Until you put a stick in the water, you put it in vertically into the water, and then a little wake gets formed on the edge of the stick. And you see, actually, it's moving. And so in the same way, it's hard to see how much our mind moves unless we have a reference point. We have some kind of stick that we put in, that you see the wake of our mind and all that. And so one of the, there's many reference points you can have, but most of the reference points that are useful are ones that limit the free activity of the mind. And so the mind doesn't have it gives free for all to do whatever it wants. So for example, in meditation, being committed to sitting still and not moving will pretty quickly reveal some of the movements in your mind, some of the movements you have, desires you have, your reactions to discomfort, your belief system around discomfort and comfort, and so all kinds of things kick into play. And I've sat with still and committed to not moving, and it's been a tempest in there, in my mind, about reacting to that, upset about it, concerned about it, trying to solve it, trying to fix it. It just gets, you know, it can get so kind of like, you know, and I say, wow, this mind is powerful. And but if I'd given in and just moved, then I wouldn't have had a tempest. So what's better, to have moved and have a mind quiet, or to not move and see the tempest? And the suggestion is, it's actually better to see the tempest, because then you have a chance to see what drives the mind, and what the reactions are, and really address it and look at it carefully. If you move, you give in to some kind of, you might be giving in to some kind of clinging, and not see it. It becomes part of the what seems natural or obvious. So it's a very simple thing of not moving when you sit is a reference point for which to look at your life by. To live by the precepts, for example, is a reference point that you say, well, I'm committing myself to not doing this kinds of behavior. And then when you find yourself kind of wanting to do those behaviors, then you have that reference point that shows you, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this. I'm committed to not lying. But, and then you see all the movements towards, you know, being a little bit deceitful, a little bit, you know, not quite straight with how things are. And so that's a reference point. And there's So, you know, in Buddhism, we give ourselves a whole series of different reference points. One reference point that some people find helpful is to have a teacher. And so you go and you check in with the teacher regularly, and the teacher knows who you are, and you kind of see yourself better in the context of a contact with a teacher. And that becomes a reference point. You know, you can't just kind of think whatever you wish, but you're accountable to someone. And you offer, this is my, you say, for example, this is my understanding. And you get to see your understanding more clearly because you're going to share it with someone, and maybe they have some feedback back. There's a reference point of choosing the breath. Okay, I'm going to, you know, it's one thing to sit still. It's another thing, okay, I'm going to stay with my breath the best I can. And that's my commitment. That's the stick you put in the mind. And mostly what you're aware of is that you can't stay on the breath. You know, mostly you get to discover a tremendous amount of momentum in the mind. You had no idea there was so much preoccupation, concern, so much power and everything in the mind. And then you discover that you have all these judgments about that. This is bad. I'm a bad person or a bad meditator because my mind is agitated. And you wouldn't have noticed that you had this tendency to judge yourself negatively if you'd given free rein to the mind to wander freely and, you know, just, you know. I've meditated without a reference point sometimes. And kind of congratulated myself for how good I was meditating. Gil, you're doing really great. And then it dawned on me that maybe I should try counting my breath to find out, to test myself, see am I really as things really as good as I think they are. And I start counting my breath, and you know I can get to 2.5 or something, you know. And I realized, I felt comfortable and calm. But my mind was very powerful. It was wandering off on all kinds of thoughts, and I didn't really recognize how much my mind was wandering. It was kind of easygoing, relaxed, or whatever. And it wasn't until I did the reference point of counting my breath that I saw, oh, I guess I'm not so still or concentrated as I thought I was. So, so to use the breath, you know, and then noticing, oh, I judge myself negatively. That's useful information. To know. If I'd given my mind free rein, I would have, like I just mentioned, I could have said, wow, I'm doing really well. And I could have said, you know, I'm so generous and compassionate to myself, I never feel bad about myself. I'm just a great guy. And then I start counting the breath, and I get to 2, and I say, wow, this mind is powerful. This is out of control. And I'm just like a terrible person because, you know. And oh, look at that. Deep inside, there's this latent tendency, this underlying background tendency to want to judge negatively that I wasn't aware of until I tried to hold myself to something. And it's rather unfortunate that there's no shortage of people who come to Buddhist practice and don't succeed well enough according to their standards and then judge themselves negatively, get depressed about that. And what you're supposed to do is to say, wow, look at that. I have this tendency to judge myself negatively. I'm so glad I see it now. This is good. This is progress. And then to hold it and to kind of back off and be kind of relaxed about it and hold it lightly. Again, what we're trying to do is use a reference point to learn what's going on. What's happening here? And then it's really important to try to meet that with compassion, to meet whatever you see without clinging further, being at ease with it. So the one reference point I wanted to end today that's really useful to have is the reference point of ease itself. To set yourself in meditation or outside with some modicum, maybe you can't do a very good job at it, but some modicum of ease, of being at peaceful, being calm, and let that be your reference point. And notice what takes you away from that. Notice what takes you away. Because if you don't have that reference point of ease or calm, you might not realize that you're agitated. There are plenty of people who run around agitated and don't realize it. I know that I've been agitated at times, but you know, there's layers and layers of agitation. You know, and so I think, wow, I'm kind of calm right now. Well, I was compared to, you know, the argument I had with that person. But, you know, I'm still kind of spinning around a little bit. And so, but to have a, And the more profound or the more higher quality experience of ease you have, the better reference points it becomes. It's kind of like the stiller the mind becomes, the more clearly you can see the subtle movement in the mind, the more ease you have. And that's one very, very, very powerful form of practice, approach to Buddhist practice, is to establish yourself in some modest amount of ease, and then notice what takes you away. Use the ease as your reference point, notice what takes you away. And then notice what happens to you. Notice. What's going on? What happens? Take refuge in the noticing, not in the judgments that you have. Notice. And you'll understand yourself. If you use that, you'll understand yourself in many, many circumstances and in deep ways. So you might consider about what the reference points that you provide yourself. What are your reference points? Some people have sickness as a reference point, and that becomes... anything that limits you is a reference point. So sickness is a powerful reference point that really highlights things that are very hard to see otherwise. Certain like obligations, you have like family obligations, can be a reference point. I don't want to do this, but you got to do it. So that becomes a reference point. You see how you normally operate. So it's one of the qualities of these reference points in some ways is they limit the free ability for the mind to do whatever it damn well pleases. And not to say that anything is wrong, but so we really see the power, the strength, and the subtlety of the attachment, the clinging that might be operating there, all in the service of becoming free and having greater sense of peace. So may you all have a good reference point. So thank you.